Hey, this is Brandon.
And Adam.
And you're listening to Thoughts? Question mark.
Gets me every time.
Oh, yeah. It's going to happen every time.
So this week, we are watching The Midnight Sky.
Yep.
There's no real content warning this time. There's some blood, but it's not overwhelming for most folks.
Yeah.
Most Brandon people. Might tell you a little bit different.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it yet, it's came out last year, 2020. If you haven't seen it yet, go ahead and pause the podcast. Go watch it. It's on Netflix.
Yep.
George Clooney.
Up for best visual effects for an Oscar.
If you don't want to watch it or you already watched it and you just need a refresher, Brandon's going to give you a little bit of a synopsis right now. Spoilers ahead. Take it away.
Spoilers. Okay, yeah. So we've got Mr. George's Clooney. I was going to call him
George's.
Yeah.
George's.
George's Clooney. Yes, we've got Mr. George's Clooney, and he's trekking his way with a girl across the snow to get to, in the Arctic, like a, yep. I think it's like the North Pole area, and he's trying to get to a satellite to let some spaceship know that life on Earth is doomed and that they should not come back.
Live no mas.
Yes, and that they should return back to the planet that they were trying to colonize in the first place. And that's the movie. That's so, basically it.
Yeah.
But let's go ahead and get into it.
This is the podcast Thoughts.
And here are all of our thoughts.
Done.
Nailed it.
Alrighty.
How was The Midnight Sky? Do you have some thoughts about this little George Clooney movie?
You know, I might just have some.
You might thoughts? Just have some thoughts.
The main takeaway, which is I'm gonna get into a little bit later, in the last 10 minutes, I changed the entire movie around in my head.
Yeah,
and I think it's my fix that I'll go into still holds up because I don't think the payoff of the little girl being his daughter did anything. I don't think that the plot twist of the little girl being his daughter, Iris, paid off. It was like, oh, that's a plot twist.
Yep.
And then it was just, I didn't feel anything.
Totally.
And so I don't think it was necessary.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a lot that I would cut.
Okay.
That I don't think it would really be a George Clooney movie anymore. No. It would still, he could still direct my movie, but he wouldn't be in it nearly as much. But I'll get into that in a little bit.
Oh, George.
But visually stunning.
Oh, it was amazing.
It was
visually, it was amazing. And I do understand why it was nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
So I don't think there was a ton of competition this year, but like, I think that it had some pretty outstanding visuals, especially on the ship portion. There was like one or two hologram scenes, specifically the part where they're like looking at like the trajectory of the ship, like how it's like, they're mapping out their courses and stuff like through space, and it's like that whole like 3D element.
Yeah.
That was pretty amazing.
Pretty disappointed on the technology on Earth throughout the movie. At least at the beginning when they're at the radio research lab.
Yeah.
That was one of the few notes that I wrote down, was that the spaceship has all these like translucent monitors and all this fancy stuff. And then they're just working on Dell.
The mission control is like 30 years behind. Yeah. I gotcha.
Other than like the 3D map
that
he pulls up.
Yeah, that was kind of like, fun.
Of where they have to go. Other than that, it looks like they shot that in an existing research station.
Definitely.
But the story completely fell flat for me.
Oh, boy.
Lay it on me. What are you thinking?
What an interesting tone this movie had the entire time. It was so strange. They had this like radiation, nuclear disaster, meltdown, spill, whatever it was. This mystery catastrophe that they never touched on. And the movie was just like a slow train through that. I never felt like it, like, ramped up pacing-wise.
No.
It was always, like, the exact same pace. There were... It was so weird. It just... It felt like it kept the same tone, and then even when there was, like, pretty, like, crazy moments going on or whatever, it didn't feel like... It would just jump right back into, like, that slow, like, kind of, like, just kind of moving along type thing, yeah. So...
Well... Yeah, on that, like, I thought we were about halfway through.
Yeah.
And then we paused it for a minute, and I noticed that there was 27 minutes left.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, where have we hit the climax? Like,
yeah.
Have we hit it?
Oh,
and
we passed it. Like, there was no, yeah, there was really no climax. I mean, essentially, the climax is at the very, very end, the reveal of, like, the daughter, it's his daughter, and, like, the girl was never there, and, like, he was just imagining it the whole time.
Yeah, I think, like, the emotional climax of, like, had our emotions been more tied to the crew,
yes,
it would have been when the astronaut was killed in space. I didn't feel... I mean, it was very sad. Like, they spent some time on it, and it was sad. I didn't feel a personal loss. When she passed.
That was a pretty... That was probably the one moment
But that was, like, the super emotional moment that I think they...
Yeah.
That was supposed to be, like, the emotional climax.
Yeah. I think for me, that was the one moment that I was like, oh, this is, like, pretty, like, heavy. I was getting there. I was trying to pull the heartstrings. No. I don't think that's what it is. I think it was just the emotions and the feelings that the movie was trying to evoke didn't fully get there. Without a doubt, though, this feels like a George Clooney movie, which is so strange to say, and I haven't seen most of his stuff. I've only seen, like, I think Suburbicon and... Monument Man and maybe a few others, but he has this very weird specific tone, and even the breakout where they start singing Sweet Caroline, I think I looked over at Adam and I was like, this is just classic George Clooney. I don't know what it is. It's just this weird tone that he has with all of his movies, where it's like things could go wrong, but they don't really go wrong, and then they're just kind of, like, hanging out in the moment.
It's like it didn't go wrong at the right time.
At the right time. Maybe it's a timing thing.
Yeah.
And...
Well, because you looked at me, and as they were like, Sweet Caroline, you're like, all right.
I was like, one, two, three. And I thought for sure something catastrophic was going to happen.
About, like, 90 seconds, and then something happened.
And it was like a slow burn, too. It was like oh, shoot, something's happening. Something's coming. There was just a weird tone. The score was kind of weird. I kept, like, it felt off in some moments. Like, it felt like it was trying to be, like, kind of happy in certain places. And it maybe shouldn't have been. It should have been a little bit more dramatic. And then vice versa. Yeah, interesting dialogue scenes between the characters felt, like, kind of slow. There was no, like...
Nothing happened.
Nothing happens, really.
Yeah.
Basically, the story goes from point A to point B, and we get to the exact same place that we were at point A.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely story-wise, this movie dragged, like, crazy. Oh, yeah, he has that... One really jarring scene change when he's in the pod.
In the pod, and I wrote down four things for this movie, and that was one of them.
She says, like, one of the she says her first line, and she says, I think she's like, "Did you love her?" or something. And then all of a sudden, he's drowning, and it was just so abrupt.
Yeah. What I wanted in that was a flashback scene.
Yeah.
Did you love her?
And then
let's flashback and to their relationship.
Yeah.
And then
come back.
And then come back,
sure.
And he's drowning.
That would have even been great. We were also pointing out there was a few major plot holes with him diving down into the water and then being in sub-zero freezing temperatures afterwards and being completely fine and not having hypothermia.
He gets dry clothes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That scene was kind of a mess.
Oh, yeah.
That was, but...
I mean, again, just classic George Clooney. They're just kind of like, just doing his thing.
And this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens.
Exactly. There was a scene that made me visibly nauseous. There was a
very visibly.
To
give a little context of that, it's when the astronaut is struck during the second ice asteroid attack.
Yeah.
Incident.
Yeah.
And she's bleeding, and the helmet comes off, and the room is
filled with blood.
Her blood.
I felt like it was just like we didn't. She could have died, and that would have been fine. We didn't have to see all of that. After that scene, basically, I proceeded to watch that, and I grew very nauseous throughout that scene, and I didn't tell Adam at all, and this might be the first time he's hearing the before effects. Wait, no, I can't say that. Hold on.
You want to just take it?
Yeah.
Every, like, three words you said,
Yeah, that tends to happen. I cut out a lot of my ums.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's pretty bad.
Okay.
I have a really bad habit of that. Okay, here we go. Okay. Yeah, so basically after that scene, I grew very nauseous because we were watching some lady explode blood out of her suit. And
sucks when that happens.
Yeah, in space, right?
Yeah.
I grew very nauseous because of this, and I started thinking about it a little bit more, and I probably shouldn't have. But the scene kept going, and I kind of got over it, and I was like, I'll just take some notes and get over the fact that whole gross scene happened, and I'm starting to feel nauseous. But then I was feeling very weird, and yeah, this tends to happen to me with some blood things. And basically, I felt like I was going to pass out, and this is on the couch, mind you, right next to Adam. He's probably about a good arm's length away from...
I could have hit you if I wanted to.
Yeah, you definitely could have. I felt like I was going to pass out, but I was like, I'll just put my head between my legs. That happens, you know, sometimes.
I didn't see any of this happen.
Yes, no.
I'm just, like, watching the movie. It had passed.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We were on the next scene.
Oh, yeah.
And this was happening.
And so I decided to put my head between my legs, got the blood moving again, and then I was like, okay, I'm feeling better. I don't feel like I'm going to pass out anymore. And then I was like, oh, I think I'm going to pass out. Actually, I think I'm going to pass out. Uh-huh, I'm passing out. And then I passed out on the couch. And
I don't mean to, I'm not laughing at you.
No, you're laughing at me.
Maybe.
It was a pretty crazy situation because I woke up on the couch staring straight at Adam, and Adam's staring back at me, and he's screaming at me, saying, Brandon, is this a medical emergency? Do I need to call 911?
Is this a bit,
yes,
Brandon?
Is this a bit? Are you doing a bit right now? Are you being a jokester? And no, that was not what was happening.
I didn't think it was outside of the realm of possibilities that this was another bit, another classic Brandon bit.
Oh, yeah.
But
sometimes I'm a silly boy, you know?
Yeah, so that's why I'm like, Brandon, is this a medical emergency?
Yeah.
I was ready to call 911.
Yep. And
I never purposely called 911. I've called them several times accidentally.
On accident. Pocket
you know,
dial.
Easy.
Butt dial.
But
booty call.
Booty call 911.
Booty call 911.
But I was ready to make that first
at the
emergency call.
You had your phone open.
In case this wasn't a bit.
It was,
and then I figured I'd ask you,
yeah.
And then if it was a bit, you would have the legal obligation to tell me.
To
so.
Say,
so
no,
I,
stop
so
dialing.
So I didn't commit a crime.
No.
But you instead said,
no, hold up. I'm fine. I think I just passed out. And then you were like, what?
I didn't know what happened. You were like on your side, hands in a weird shape.
I looked very weird.
I was very concerned.
I think for me, I was like, I was trying to do everything I could to prevent myself from passing out. And so I probably looked very strange, just kind of like.
You did.
Yeah.
You looked like a fool. I went through like seven different words in my mind and I settled on fool.
Nice.
And so I'm confident in that word choice. Thank
you. Great. I basically just said, yeah, I think I just need some water and some air. And I realized that I had formulated a very cold sweat, and I went outside and I took my shirt off, and Adam brought me some water, and the medical emergency was thus put out, and I...
No emergencies here.
I'm here to record the podcast.
Thank goodness.
Yes.
I would have had to find a replacement three episodes in.
All that aside, and even for like other viewers, I don't think it's that bad. I think I just had a weird, strange, like, reaction to it, and so...
Yeah, so I think they did it for the visual aspect.
Of it trying, like...
Of filling the room with pockets of
blood. Pockets of blood.
I think they were like, probably, let's do blood in space.
Yeah.
And they didn't, like...
Sure.
We both watched That's The fine. Expanse.
Yeah.
In The Expanse... And in The Expanse, they teach us...
Yeah.
That you can't stop bleeding
yeah,
in zero gravity.
Yeah, it's a very stressful thing in The Expanse, yeah.
So I don't know if that's real or not, but if it is...
It makes sense. It makes Brandon scientific sense.
Brandon and I kept yelling at the TV to get her into one of the gravity things.
Get her to gravity!
Because she...
Start spitting that pod!
Because she just kept bleeding.
Yeah. I think it was... Like, right when the airlock came on, they pulled their helmet off, and then it was just, like, that noise. Ugh, gross. Man, I think my biggest gripe about the whole movie, though, is that the story just never really went anywhere. And I wanted so much more out of this movie. It kind of felt like a classic, if anyone's seen Passengers, where the movie, it explains everything to you from point A to point B, and you go, okay, and then that's it.
I think that the time was just too evenly split between Earth and the ship.
Yeah.
Because we spent like an hour with each.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like cutting back and forth all that much. It was like, we got George Clooney's story with a little bit in space, and then we got the spaceship's story, and I kind of was expecting it to do a little bit more bounce back and forth, so like they're in the ship, and then there wasn't a lot of that. I think they needed to dial back one of the two. One of my other thoughts with the movie was that the repair scene dragged on.
Come to think about it, I remember sitting there, and I was like, anything can happen.
Yeah.
Something's gonna happen. Another shoe's gonna drop somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming. Oh, it hasn't come yet. Okay, here it comes. Nothing yet.
Yeah.
And then it just keeps going. Mm-hmm. And then they just finish their task, and then finally everything happens.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it definitely dragged. It was a lot of like, it's almost like a slice of life type thing where like things are just kind of happening, and that's fine. But like, this definitely didn't feel like a slice of life movie. Like, it was trying to be cool.
Yeah.
And it wasn't cool.
I thought that the whole repair scene, I'm like watching it, and I'm like, the only purpose for this is to show off the visual effects.
Yeah.
Like,
I guess that's true too, yeah.
Like, I'm looking at this and I'm like, it's super cool. We're getting such cool shots of the ship and them fixing stuff. But I'm like, other than showing off visual effects, it doesn't add anything to the story.
Yeah.
And I'm a big advocate of, if the special effects don't further the plot,
oh yeah, then why have them in there?
Why have them in there? It's not worth it.
Yeah.
It's cool to see without it actually helping the plot.
Yeah.
I didn't get anything out of it, which is why I think it's such a small thing, but it kind of annoyed me.
Okay.
When George turned to the little girl and like explained the plot of the movie in a little bit. Like, he's like,
with so exposition?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's like, so we have to go to the satellite station in order to...
Oh, with, like, the map
and
stuff? Yeah.
But he's just like, in order to save them, in order to contact them, we need to go on this dangerous journey.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, okay, that's the log line of the movie.
Yeah.
It
was funny because we sat down to watch this movie, and I read out, like, the little synopsis that it had on Netflix, and it was like... A guy goes to try to contact a spaceship to tell him to not to come to Earth. And I literally read that and I was like, that's it?
And that was
the movie.
But like, yeah, it was about a guy who went to do that. But he didn't do it. Like, he got there, he talked to them finally, but they had already figured everything out. Exactly. They had already learned that, like, Earth so wasn't... So
dumb.
And they're like, the only thing that he added was, do you think we can land anywhere? And he's like, no. Do you have any final thoughts? Would you recommend this to someone?
No. I wouldn't.
No.
Not at all.
No.
No. It was very boring. Yeah. I kept... looking at the clock. Yeah, unfortunately. I wish I could. It just definitely wasn't a movie that captivated my attention enough. And I mean, if someone's just like, hey, is there a movie that you would recommend that, like, the visual effects are so good, I don't care anything about the story and the characters suck, I'd be like, dude, go see Midnight Sky. But no, it was a flat movie for me.
Super flat.
Yeah.
I think it's a movie that I'd share clips from.
Sure.
Just to be like, hey, check out this Inspo. Visual effects type of stuff. But it's not.
It was very visually appealing. I could pull frames from it and show people inspiration from certain aspects of it. But other than that, it would have even been nice to know what this huge catastrophic event was that destroyed Earth, and maybe had some cool flashback scene that, like, showed people, like, franticking or whatever to try to, like, be safe.
I guess we just didn't have the perspective from anyone that was on Earth. We weren't sitting with anyone who was on Earth at the time.
I mean,
or who was near the trouble.
We could have seen George Clooney's character. Maybe he was, like, in the midst of everything when it happened, and then he, like, escaped to the mountains. I think if we spent less time with the crew, honestly, and we spent more time on that, I would have been way more intrigued to watch that movie.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we have...
different opinions?
Very opposite...
oh, okay.
...rewrites of the script.
Oh, okay, great.
So that's awesome.
Cool.
I want to spend more time with the crew.
Oh, okay.
And explore that sci-fi area more than you. I do... My rewrites... It's not a recut. It's a rewrite.
It's a rewrite.
It's a rewrite.
Yeah.
And it's super drastic, and it changes... It takes that whole reveal out.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Because I wrote the little girl out.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Completely.
Completely.
Okay.
I want to spend more time with the crew and have the emotional climax be the two men deciding to go back to Earth.
Uh-huh.
But, so, let me start out.
Oh, you give me what you got, guy. I want to hear it.
All right.
I want to hear
it's
your
kind
rewrite.
Of a completely different movie.
Yeah, let's hear it.
But
butcher this guy.
Yeah.
So from what I'm hearing, you liked elements of the movie, but you just want to restructure it a little bit differently.
Yeah, I want to keep George Clooney.
Okay.
And maybe there's a way to kind of keep the girl in there, or have it be flipped a little bit different and have the realization be on the other foot.
Okay.
Or the other shoe.
Yeah.
But I want it to be all most or primarily on the ship.
Okay.
And I want to hear George Clooney's voice through. I want our crew to be talking to George Clooney and trying to get an idea of what's happening on Earth.
Cool.
But I want to explore the relationships of the people on the ship more. I want some different trials. They hit two ice asteroids.
Yeah.
That was basically the same.
It was the same disaster, yeah.
Both times. Except they were outside the second time.
Yeah.
I want to feel the family connections more of the astronauts.
The family connections of the people on Earth or the family of the people in
both.
The spaceship? Okay.
Both. I want to feel... So they have their simulations. They're like virtual reality
type of simulations. That was an interesting little touch.
Where they live the same moment with their family.
Yeah.
And so... we learn that the one guy has a family that he has breakfast with. I kind of felt when those two guys left that it was a little bit selfish.
Oh, yeah.
To go and just know that they're going to go die on Earth.
Yeah.
Instead of helping these two people propagate the human race.
Oh, yeah, I felt the exact same way.
But if it was more... if we were spending more time with them on the ship and we got to, like, learn about the families a little bit more... them going back, even though there's a 99% chance they're gonna die, might have felt better.
Okay.
One thing with George Clooney's character is at the beginning they had those flashbacks, to him kind of like meeting
yeah
his wife, and I think, and like talking about the mission, and I think we could have gotten or been able to tell some stories of that family unit. So while we're on the ship, we keep cutting back to that family.
Okay, so like the, all the flashbacks.
The flashbacks, we keep that.
Yeah.
But we don't give the context of George Clooney in the present.
Uh-huh.
We have his voice
mm-hmm.
as a mystery man back on Earth who's at the North Pole.
Yeah.
And we don't, or in the Arctic, the whatever, Pole. Wherever
he's
he is.
He's hanging out with Santa and the elves. Yeah.
We have his voice, but we don't know the we don't know the connection between the flashbacks and...
I would do the exact same thing.
And him.
Yeah.
And we have the little girl, and we see her.
Uh-huh.
So I want to keep the actress.
Sure.
And but I want to have that family type of thing going on. And then through the conversations with George Clooney, what's her name?
Felicity Jones?
Felicity Jones. Between their conversations, I want Felicity to realize that she's talking to her father.
Oh, yeah.
And so I want there to
be... That would have been much stronger.
I want there to be a little bit more of a relationship in those flashbacks, and I want to build those out.
I
want more of those throughout the movie, and then I want someone to drop their name, or I don't know how the realization comes about. We can workshop that later.
Yeah.
But I want her to realize that she's talking to her father, and him to have more of an impact on saving them. He traversed the Arctic, and he just told them to slingshot around Earth.
Yeah.
He didn't tell them about the apocalypse.
Yeah,
they found that out on their own.
Yeah.
He didn't have that much of an impact.
No.
So
definitely not.
I want them to have more conversation. I want him to actually like pull out a whiteboard and be figuring something out
uh-huh.
about the slingshot.
Yeah.
He's just like, hey, I had this idea.
Helping them.
Exactly.
Yeah, figure out how to save the human race type thing.
Yeah.
Or go back to the planet that they had been trying to colonize and then...
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that there's something to explore there
okay.
with their relationship. Because they don't talk that much in the movie
no.
as it exists.
Yeah.
So I think that's why the realization that the girl is Iris, Felicity Jones...
Uh-huh.
There's no like, oh my gosh, he's talking to her. Because they barely talk. It got broken up every other time.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh yeah, the world's over. You already saw that.
Yeah, I think that it was really on the nose that he was imagining that it was his daughter the whole time. Mm-hmm. I feel like it would have been much cooler. And now I love the direction that you're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll go the opposite direction or
okay.
like a semi like similar but a little different.
For
I would
sure.
have loved to explore just the relationship with George Clooney and the girl more and their journey together
mm-hmm.
to try to help do this whole thing, right?
Yeah.
And then I think what would have been way stronger is that we don't know George Clooney's character, like, we don't know his backstory, and then he starts talking to the ship, and then the little girl disappears, and we slowly have flashbacks of him, like, talking to himself. Like, she was never there the whole time. For me, that would have made a more interesting movie and a
You're
little bit more...
You're keeping George Clooney... actually cast in this movie.
Yeah.
I have him as a voiceover actor.
Yeah, you do.
He'll probably go for your idea more.
He wanted to play the kind of crazy old man character that I still keep him in the roles with. So we have two really good fixes.
Yeah.
Like pretty easy, quick little story changes.
George, call us up next time.
Oh, yeah.
And... we'll fix your movie for you.
Be sure to stay tuned for our next movie. We're going to be watching Patterson. If you want to subscribe to our...
Not Paddington.
Oh.
Patterson.
Yeah, Patterson.
Just want to make sure everyone knows that we're not talking about Paddington Bear.
Yeah, not Paddington Bear.
Although,
1 or 2.
2 got like a 100% on Rotten
Both
Tomatoes.
Both did, I'm pretty sure.
I haven't seen either of those
We should
movies.
Watch those
maybe
at
we'll
some
watch,
point.
Maybe we'll
yeah.
watch Paddington
yep.
Bear, not
uh-huh.
Patterson
You were
Bear.
Close.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. We're watching Patterson.
No. Yes.
Yep.
Patterson on...
Patterson.
It's available on
Amazon Prime.
Be sure to give that a watch.
Unless you've already seen it before, and in that case, it did come out in 2016. But in that case, you can go ahead and just listen in next week. But stay tuned to hear all of our thoughts.